Weaving the threads of art, culture, and history, Marijke van der Meer creates an oral tapestry.
In this program, we continue our tributes to the German poet Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, who was born on August the 28th, 250 years ago. Today, we focus on his masterpiece, Faust. On one level, Faust is a love story. The heroine gives her mother a sleeping potion one night so she can meet up with her lover. The mother dies of an overdose. The heroine gets pregnant. Her lover abandons her. She murders her baby. And finally, she's condemned to death.
Die Wette biet ich. Stopp und Schlag auf Schlag. Werd ich zum Augenblicke sagen, verweile doch, du bist so schön.
The hero makes a pact with the devil, ruins the virtue of a young maiden, kills her brother, and engages in violent conquest. And in the end, the two sinners are united in heaven with the saints. What is this strange religion by which those who will evil always produce good, and those who seek beauty and knowledge turn everything to ashes? It is Faust, the world created in a play by Johann Wolfgang von Goethe.
He wrote the great poetic image of our modern condition in his play Faust. That is a modern myth to which he has given definitive form. All the other treatments of Faust in the 19th and 20th century are in some way or another, either by derivation or by reaction, related to Goethe's Faust. In that sense, he has told us who we are.
Goethe's version of the story took the world by storm when it first appeared in the early 19th century. Since then, the play and its characters, like the devil Mephistopheles, have inspired poets, novelists, film directors, composers, and even rock musicians. Goethe's Faust has been hailed as the greatest play since Hamlet.
The figure of Faust is a part of a European mythology even before Goethe started to treat him. Nonetheless, Faust had a huge appeal to the European Romantic movement precisely because he represented something that people in very different situations in different nations could nonetheless recognize as being fundamentally characteristic of their own time.
Nicholas Boyle is professor of German intellectual and literary history at Cambridge University in Britain, and he's the author of an important new biography of Goethe called The Poet and the Age. Professor Boyle believes that Faust in many ways embodies modern man, for whom the self is the ultimate arbiter of everything.
This problem, what is valuable in the world, is it me or is it the things that I experience, was something that the Romantic generation of the early 19th century felt very profoundly. It's part of the profound genius of Goethe that coming from the middle of a very rational century, he was able fully to understand the needs and the concerns of a generation that put feeling and emotion higher than reason.
As a child, Goethe saw puppet shows of the medieval Faust legend in Frankfurt, and he spent 60 years of his long life writing his own play on the subject. He carried his ideas around with him on bits and pieces of paper, which he kept in a bag. Goethe finally published the definitive version of Faust Part 1 in 1808, and he didn't finish Part 2 until a few months before he died in 1832.
Ow, 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 ow! Verdammte Stier! Verfluchte Sau!
The unabridged version of the two parts of the play is more than 20,000 lines long and would take all day to perform. The action is set in both heaven and earth and would require the resources of the producers of Star Wars to do justice to all the witches, voices, angels, lightning bolts, and flying apparitions that make up the giant cast of the play. The second part is almost never performed, but lines from both parts of the play have become famous the world over.
Zwei Seelen wohnen, ach, in meiner Brust. Die eine will sich von der anderen trennen. Die eine hält in derber Liebeslust sich an die Welt mit klammernden Organen, die andere... Everyone knows, zwei Seelen wohnen nach in meiner Brust. Two souls live in my breast. This is so well known. So you have to find a way to make it live.
German stage actor Jürgen Hartmann has taken on the immense challenge of playing Dr. Faust in a new 5-hour production of part 1 and 2 of the play. This production is being staged at no less than the German National Theater in Weimar, the place where Goethe himself first directed the play nearly 200 years ago.
It's a difficult thing when you create the role to find something the audience can connect with. To have a human being which is not satisfied with his life because he wants to know more.
Habe nun ab Philosophie, Juristerei und Medizin und leider auch Theologie durchaus studiert.
The play opens with Dr. Faust musing on the futility and vanity of human knowledge and scholarship. Honest and humble thoughts, you'd think. But Nicholas Boyle believes these thoughts contain the seed of the tragedy that is to follow.
Faust shows, in a sense, the weakness of his character in his rejection of science, to which Goethe devoted so much of his own life. That rejection by Faust shows that he is uninterested in or incapable of appreciating what you might call objective truth. He is not interested in nature for its own sake. He's interested in it only in so far as it's capable of giving him material for enjoyment. And that's true of just about everything in his life.
So Faust is a truly modern man because for him the self is the gauge by which he measures the value of the world around him. Everything and everyone else are devalued in the process.
That is what then happens in the play. That is why it is rightly called by Goethe a tragedy, because Faust experiences things, enjoys them, and destroys them. This happens with Gretchen, the woman that he loves. It happens with his experience of antique beauty when he meets Helena, or Helen of Troy. It happens at the end of his life when he has become a social engineer and a kind of imperialist. All of this is in a sense an achievement, but the result of it is that the very thing that he is experiencing and achieving turns to ashes.
Abscheuliches Untier, die erste nicht! Mir wütet Mark und Leben durch das Elend dieser einzigen, und du grinsest gelassen über das Schicksal von Tausenden hin.
Nonetheless, in the end, we are told, in the image of Faust's redemption, that we can have and must have hope that despite the destructive implications of the modern subjective attitude, it will in the end, by a power deeper than itself, be brought to some kind of redemption.
And just as the heroine Gretchen is about to be executed, the devil comes to claim her soul, but heaven has the final say, and Mephisto summons Faust.
Mir graut vor dir.
Sie ist gerichtet! Ist gerettet! Her zu mir!
Heinrich,
Goethe managed to live with all these changes, the political changes, American and French revolutions and so on, but there were also big economic and social changes, the rise of capitalism and imperialism, huge intellectual changes, the rise of idealism, socialism, modern attitudes to the self and society. He lived through all of these, sympathized with all of them, saw their negative aspects, but refused to despair.
Fluch sei dem balsamsafter Traum, Fluch jener höchsten Liebeshuld, Fluch sei der Hoffnung, Fluch...
Goethe's character Faust, on the other hand, curses the deceptions of this earthly life. At the opening of the play, we find him in a mood of desperate solitude and cynicism.
No, no hay nadie. Ayudadme. Ayudadme, por favor, ayudadme, os ruego. No... Estoy solo. No!
The famous Spanish theater group La Fura dels Baos from Barcelona has produced a cyberspace version of Goethe's play. Faust is introduced as an internet addict, searching in vain on the information highway for answers to the questions of human existence. This Catalan computer version of Faust is based on an idea by Carlos Padrisa, one of the founding members of the group.
Fausto está insatisfecho porque está encerrado las 24 horas en internet, así, y su mundo.
Faust is dissatisfied because he's locked onto internet 24 hours a day, and he sees the world through his screen. We have the same experience. Our dissatisfaction stems from the fact that we only develop the rational part of our being. The screen also creates a feeling of solitude, and this leads to a lot of dissatisfaction.
Y una pantalla que en el fondo te crea una soledad, ¿no? Esto provoca una gran insatisfacción.
Faust discovers that technological innovation and all the immediate gratification offered by consumer amenities do not change the human condition.
Aunque tengamos de todo, tenemos insatisfacción.
Even though we have everything, we never feel completely satisfied.
Nos pasa igual que Faust.
So we experience the same thing as Faust. We can have everything, but in the end we never really know ourselves. And that's what Faust experienced. He forgot a part of himself. Even though you think you know yourself very well, there's still a part of you which you have ignored.
Pero hay una parte que tenemos olvidada y tenemos que pactar.
And it is when Faust is in a state of alienation from himself that Satan's envoy Mephistopheles, the liar destroyer, the spirit of negation, enters the scene.
¿Quién me llama? ¿Quién me llama? ¿Quién me llama? ¿Quién me llama?
¿Eres
pequeño? ¿Y al oírme, verme, olerme, tiembla? ¿Qué gritas?
In the original play by Goethe, evil is much less spectacular. Mephistopheles enters in the guise of a little black poodle that's been following Faust around all day. The poodle then turns into a rich and fancy gentleman who promises Faust great pleasure in this life.
Nur in blendem Zauberwerken dich von dem Lügengeist bestärken, so hab ich dich schon unbedingt.
Mephistopheles is one of the most intriguing and entertaining characters ever created for the stage.
Yes, my wish was to play the part of Mephisto, because Faust has the text and Mephisto has the punchline.
In fact, he's a joker. He's a playful character who tries also to somehow, with irony, to confuse, to disturb the normal order in order to push people into new experiences.
Brazilian-born Ismael Ivo is chief choreographer at the German National Theater in Weimar. For Goethe's 250th birthday, he has created a dance production centering on the devil. After all, it's Mephisto and not Faust who steals the show.
It's because probably in Mephisto we see ourselves near.
More than Faust.
More than Faust. Because Faust is the doctor, the scientist, the big man. And Mephisto is just natural. And he's like everybody in his own life, good and bad situations. And above all, an acceptance of your natural feelings. And that's why probably we are immediately very attracted to him, because we identify ourselves with him.
Auch könnte die anständig nackt ergehen. Das lange Faltenhemd ist übersittlich. Sie wenden sich.
I searched for modern Faust types, and it was very, very difficult to find, for example, in American movies or something, to find a character like Faust. But for Mephistopheles, you have masses of possibilities.
I think that Mephistopheles, whom Goethe described as essentially a subsidiary figure, is in many ways an emanation of Faust himself. And Goethe, in introducing the figure in part one, makes it fairly clear that Mephistopheles is, in a sense, one of the two aspects of the soul which is so divided.
Dr. Faust is often popularly described as a man who sells his soul to the devil, but that is not, in fact, what happens in Goethe's play.
Nun gut, es sei dir überlassen. Zieh diesen Geist von seinem Urquell ab.
The play, in fact, begins in heaven, and it is God who makes a wager with Mephisto. He bets that the devil cannot take Faust's soul. And so, on earth, there is a second wager, the famous pact between the devil and Faust, in which Faust tells Mephisto he can have his soul if he, the devil, ever manages to satisfy Faust with anything this life has to offer. If ever Faust says to any moment, "Tarry, remain, you are so fair." It is a brilliant formula, but not foolproof.
When he makes his famous wager with the devil, he says, "Whatever you show me, I will not find it as valuable as my own power of carrying on to some new experience." He says, "I am more valuable than the contents, any of the contents of my experience."
So Mephisto enters as a messenger, as a person who brings transformation, who brings metamorphosis, who brings new experiences to upgrade Faust, because he was stuck. He could not go on after his own studies in everything. He still needed something else. Then Mephisto has to enter his life. He has to go out in the world to get more experiences. Good and bad, yes, that's life, that's humanity.
There is no earthly pleasure that Faust does not experience. In part one, it is youth and sensual love that Faust enjoys with Gretchen. Mephisto turns the aging Faust into a handsome young nobleman who easily bedazzles and seduces the innocent young girl.
Glaubst du an Gott?
Mein Liebchen, wer darf sagen, ich glaub an Gott?
Faust and Gretchen represent two different views of the world, her traditional religious faith and his modern views. She questions him about his belief in God. He skirts the issue. And finally he says, call it what you will, happiness, heart, love, God, he has no name for it.
Wenn's Glück, Herz, Liebe, Gott. Ich habe keinen Namen dafür.
Yes, I think this is one of the great dramatic moments in the entire play, because we see clearly how two worlds are colliding at this moment. The old world of belief, which has sustained Europe for thousands of years, and the modern world represented by Faust. And these two worlds are trying to communicate with each other, and they don't really succeed. That is why Faust has no words with which to speak to Gretchen about these matters at this point. It's part of the marvelous drama of this moment that nonetheless the relationship continues. It continues in a world beyond words, it continues in action, because even if you haven't got the means of communicating with people, you can still affect their lives, possibly disastrously.
In part two of the play, Faust travels through space and time, conquers Greece, becomes an emperor, gains riches and fame, and acquires the ultimate ideal of beauty, Helena of Troy. Faust comes close to achieving bliss on Earth. But who has won, and at what price? Beauty and happiness, says Helena, cannot be united for long. And happiness on earth could mean that Faust will lose the bet with the devil. Just as Mephisto is about to pounce on his prey, a twist of fate changes Faust's life, and tragedy saves his soul.
He and Helena have a child, and you think in this moment now he's on the point when he can say, I'm satisfied now, I've reached what I want. I'm in a total harmony with myself and Helena. And then he loses Helena.
Persephoneia, nimm den Knaben auf und mich.
He loses the best part of himself. It is a very exciting point, because I think Mephisto is on the way to win this bet. But a little accident, and then everything changes.
Ich muss, gönnt mir den Flug!
Ich habe uns! Jammer genug!
Der Freude folgt sogleich grimmige Pein.
So, Faust's damnation would have resulted from his moment of greatest happiness.
Yes, yes, yes. I think so.
What causes Helena to vanish and the baby to die?
Ooh. It's a very difficult question. I really don't know in the end.
And we never will know. Even Goethe did not wish to get pulled into discussions about the meaning of part two of the play. He sealed the manuscript and would not allow the play to be published or performed until after his death.
All that is transitory is only a symbol. What seems unachievable here is seen done. What's indescribable here becomes fact. Woman eternally shows us the way.
When Faust's life of earthly struggle finally ends, his soul is immediately transported to heaven, for reasons that are not entirely clear to us. Mephistopheles is even more confused. Goethe leaves us with some closing lines about an upper realm that is a mirror image of all the darkness and difficulty of life on earth. This is not the heaven we learn about in Sunday school. It's true that Faust is full of images of heaven and redemption, and the cast includes devils, angels, and God himself. Faust is a deeply religious play, but it presents a vision of salvation and sin in a secular age, in which good and evil and the rules of redemption are redefined in modern terms.
Christianity, I think, for Goethe, was one of the most important features, obviously, of Western culture, but he must be one of the first people who tried deliberately to lead a secular life with the seriousness of a religious person. He inherited from Christianity, as he himself put it, the feeling that he was serious about his own salvation. But he sought that salvation outside the church and indeed outside religious dogma of any kind.
Many of the expressions which Goethe used in Faust, you see, today it's part of the German way of expressing an idea or relating to affect. And this is even surprise for my German friends. They said, oh my God, this is what we speak every day. It comes from Faust. It comes from Goethe. So you see that this is really the basis of the German thinking and culture.
But Goethe did not see his Faust as a German work. He was the first writer in history, in fact, to speak of world literature. In this tragic century, Goethe's Faust has rarely been performed in theaters in the English-speaking world. But as we enter a new century, the time may be right for a greater appreciation of the play and its relevance to modern audiences.
We must remember that in the 19th century, Goethe was very well known in the English world. He was understood to be one of the European greats, and it was only really at the very end of the 19th century, when rivalry between England and Germany for imperial power throughout the world became intense, that German culture was downgraded in the estimation of English-speaking people, and Goethe, I'm afraid, suffered with along most other aspects of German culture at that time. Since the imperial rivalries have become a thing of the past, I think we're now in a better position to appreciate each other's cultural heritage.
Why this Faust has been universally played in different language and translated in different language? It's because it touches for me the basic existential question of humanity, between man standing in the center, between God and evil, between good and bad. This relation of Faust Mephisto between good and bad deeds, it is just an existential quest. It is a humanistic existential question.
This special edition of Aural Tapestry was the second program of our two-part tribute to the German poet Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, who was born 250 years ago. The program was produced and presented by Marijke van der Meer. Technical production by Ruud van Steenis. This has been a Radio Netherlands presentation.